Well, from now until the end of the night, we're going to take your phone calls this hour with the two sisters, Tina and Tilde, as we talk about their work on Ouija boards, a book of insight. The next hour, open lines here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We're with the two sisters, Tina and Tilde, talking about their work, a book of insight. Now, tell me, Tina, what is the most stunning thing, the most stunning revelation because of all of this that has occurred for you? And I'll ask Tilde.
Well, what's occurred for me through the messages that were delivered to us is basically how we create our reality through the thoughts that we think and the beliefs that we hold, and how we can use magnetism to magnetize our realities into existence. Now, another thing, too, that really was important to me is the revelation that we are all divine, that we are all fragments of the source or of God in human form, because we always think of ourselves as separate from our source or separate from God, but what our guides say to us is that couldn't be further from the truth. You and your source are connected, and even though you feel like you're disconnected, that is further from the truth of what you believe, because we are one and the same, and we are all connected. Not only are we all connected here on this planet, but we are all connected throughout the entire universe. We are all one conscious energy.
How about you, Tilde?
I would say for me, it's really given me a much grander perspective on reality. Something that they talked about quite a bit in the book is how we are all basically actors here playing out roles. As Tina mentioned, we all write our own reality. Well, we write our own script. And what we do is we are, as fragments of God, as fragments of the source, we are also creators, as the source is a creator. And what we are doing here is creating our reality. We are experiencing that which we are creating. And through those experiences, we're learning who and what we are and what we are capable of. And basically, we are all here on a journey of self-discovery. And at the end of the day, our ultimate purpose is awakening, to awaken our third eye and to learn and understand who we are as spiritual beings and what we are capable of.
Do you believe if we were going to be hit by an asteroid or some tragedy that these spirit guides would warn you?
We do have watchers. We have, there are other life forms that exist on other planets and other realities and other dimensions, and some of them are watching us and protecting us, keeping an eye on us. Because what we're told is that what we do in our reality also has an effect on other realities as well. And one of the things they talked about was if there was ever a nuclear exchange. And they said to us that if there was a major nuclear exchange, that would affect their reality as well. And they can't have that. So if that were to happen, they would intervene and they would help in that case.
Okay, let's take some phone calls. We'll start it off by going to Allen Park, Michigan. George is with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, George.
Hi, George.
Good to have you with us. Go ahead.
Hi, ladies.
Hi there.
You sound like very nice ladies, but it seems that it always takes the same pattern that the Bible has told us. There's a way that seems right unto us, but then there are the ways of death. And Jesus has told us, and the Word of God tells us, that Satan presents himself as a minister of love and light in order to deceive. And usually the message from these spirits is usually the same. It's the same lies that the devil had in the Garden of Eden, that we are gods, we create our own reality. There's really no hell. Sin is just a lack of knowledge. And, don't worry about death.
George, are you saying they're being deceived through the Ouija board?
Yes, absolutely. If Jesus tells us something, and Jesus, who claims to be the truth, and I believe him to be, he, in essence, put his life on the line and died to show that he is the truth and to show us the way of light and love. And he tells us not to delve into these spirits because these spirits are deceivers. They've been deceiving mankind since the Garden of Eden. And it always is the same pattern. It's the same things that Satan said, that you will not die. Has God said, you know, sin is just a lack of knowledge. Don't worry about judgment. And you know, it's all those. It always is the same pattern. And people will believe these spirits. They don't know if they're aliens, if they're demons, if they're ghosts, if they're spirits of love. But they'll believe they are because they tell them they are, because they make them feel good. It sounds good, and it's a loving message. But it's a message of lies and deceit and contradictory to Jesus Christ.
That was one of the things that concerned me, Tina and Tilde. How do you know? How do you know for sure you're not being led astray here?
Well, I think it goes back to just the way the messages resonate with us and how we feel about the messages. And, you know, we were cautious in the beginning, and we were suspicious in the beginning.
So you thought in the beginning you might be tricked.
We questioned it in the beginning. We were very careful, and it wasn't until we were probably a couple of chapters into this book and started, you know, reading the messages back that we realized that there is no negativity in what they're saying. There's nothing here that feels like it's leading us astray. And, I mean, the flip side of the coin, too, is, sure, you can have negative entities come through with messages, but why is it that you can't have positive entities come through with messages as well? And we believe that what we have is positive, loving spirit guides that are coming through to us with messages.
And I'd like to add something to what Tilde is saying. We fear that which we don't understand, and we are suspicious of that which we don't understand. And Tilde and I were definitely suspicious of it in the beginning. You know, however, the caller mentioned something about, you know, you don't die and you don't, and there's no hell and this and that. One thing that our guide said to us is love. God is unconditional, pure white light and love. So if God is pure, unconditional love, why, and he gave us free will when he created us out of this love, why would he then create hell for us for punishment if we exercise this free will? We are all here to learn. And sometimes our lessons of learning are through negative experiences, because these negative experiences can also teach us the value of love. For instance, we ask the question, why would a child die at a young age, or why is there homelessness? And what our source said, well, sometimes these people who are homeless are here to teach you a lesson of compassion, because through the lesson of compassion, you can reach the lesson of love. And the same thing for why do young children die at such a young age with diseases or accidents. And they said the same thing. It's all about learning, and it's all about learning the lesson of love. And every lesson that we are meant, every lesson that we learn, whether it's a positive or a negative lesson, is to bring us closer to the understanding of ultimate love.
Okay, let's go to Marguerite in Mesa, Arizona, west of the Rockies. Hi there, Marguerite.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course. Thank you.
Hi, Tina. Hi, Tilde. I'd like to say thank you so much for talking about putting that protection around, because I had a very negative experience when I was young. I was at a sleepover. It was a 13-year-old birthday party, and my friend had 12 guests. Her mother worked nights, and her older sister was watching us, and we were playing around in the finished basement with a Ouija board. And then it turned to a seance and the stories of Mary Worth, and we were going to bring back Abraham Lincoln, and we had a candle on. And what happened was there was an built-in speaker system with a stereo upstairs, and we heard something that came through the sound system, like, very scary, and someone blew the candle out, and everyone started screaming and running, and we thought her sister was playing a joke on us, but she had gone to the grocery store to pick up more beverages. So that kind of broke up the party, but that was my negative experience with that. But currently, I'm a hypnotherapist, energy worker, and intuitive, and I know exactly what you're talking about when you talk about do the meditation, set the intention, and use the white light. I think the issue is when people use it as a game.
Well, that's exactly it. And as we mentioned earlier, it's almost unfortunate that they sell the Ouija board through toy stores. I don't think that's the right place for it, because it's not a toy and it's not a game. And what happens is people buy it thinking it's a game, and they treat it as a game. And then, of course,
something happens.
Exactly. They start having the negative experiences. So you really do have to be careful.
Well, the fact that I don't play around with one anymore, does that make me a wimp?
No, you're not a wimp, George, not at all. No, it's good to be cautious. And if it's something that you don't feel comfortable experimenting with, then it's probably best that you don't.
You know, I was going to do this grand Ouija board night show and an experiment, and I had a couple guests on, three people who were my advisors. One was steadfastly against it. The other said, go for it, and the other kind of hedged in the middle. And I decided not to do it, primarily not because of me, but I was concerned about people who were listening to the show who might not know how to handle it if they went out and got a Ouija board or started doing this. And so I decided not to do it. I tried to get a statement from the maker of the Ouija board, and the company refused to give us a statement. They didn't want to. They didn't want to get involved. It's a strange thing, isn't it?
It is a strange thing, George, and I think that you made a wise decision at that time, because you really didn't know or understand what you were getting into, and you didn't know about protection. So anything could have come through at that point. And this is why we say, Tildy and I say, that, you know, you really have to take it seriously, and you have to respect the tool that you use, because it does open a portal. And if you open a portal, it's like opening your front door and leaving it open. Anybody can walk through your front door. And this is exactly why we say to meditate, to use protection, to use intention, and to be very cautious. And also what I'd like to add to that is when you go to a psychic for a psychic reading, that psychic is also opening a portal. What we don't see before we go to a psychic reading is that psychic is preparing himself or herself as well by meditating, by visualizing white light, by protecting the area before you show up. So anything of this nature where you are having a psychic reading or you using a psychic tool, you are opening up a portal. So and we live in a multidimensional universe. This dimension that we occupy isn't the only dimension that exists. There are other dimensions. We just don't see them because they vibrate at a different frequency. And we can connect with some of these dimensions, and we do connect with some of them. And this is exactly why we do need to use protection. So you did make a wise decision at that time.
When you use the Ouija board, when you're using the planchette, does it happen? Does it work for you all the time?
It works for us every time. There's never been a time where we sat down and it didn't work for us. It's pretty much instantaneous. And the interesting thing that we find, too, is that the different entities that come through all seem to have a different energy about them. There are times where someone will come through and the planchette will move very slowly and methodically, and then there are times where another entity will come through and the planchette has just gone crazy to the point where it's just flown off the board. So it's really interesting that they almost have their own personalities as they come through.
Let's go to Randy in Sacramento, California, first-time caller. Randy, good morning. You're up.
Hi, how are you tonight?
Okay,
very
Randy.
Very good show. Thank you very much.
Sure thing.
Well, when we were just little small kids, you know, we were just about 11 years old, and we lived out in the country. We didn't have much to do. And this girl that we lived in our neighborhood got one. And so we went on and started playing it. You know, and it come on, it told us all kinds of neat little things, you know. And we're just having fun with it, you know, and that's going on for months. And we started asking it more specific questions, you know, and you know, it told me every member of my family. It told me the exact year that they would die in, you know, what time of the year it was going to be and how old they would be.
Oh, my.
And thus far, every one of them has come true. And, you know, mine was going to be the longest. It told me that my brother older than me, would drown. And he was a super swimmer, a very good swimmer. So we, you know, kind of thought, yeah, you know. And lo and behold, he took his own life, and the way he fell, he drowned in his own blood.
Oh, gee, Randy, how many people? How many people passed on?
Well, right now there's four of them gone, And I have one brother left and myself.
Now, did it say when you would when you're supposed to go?
Absolutely, sure did. It told me I would be that I would live to be 86 years old, and I'd die in the year 2042. You know, and it told us this more than one time. And I went on the internet and looked at they set different death clocks that they got on there, two or three of them, matter of fact, two of them. And I filled the information out correctly, and they also told me I would be 86 years old when I passed.
Interesting. So, and what about your brother, the one who's still alive?
Yeah, he's supposed to die at the age of 67.
And how old is he now?
66.
Oh, now does he know about this?
No, I've never told him. He knew we played with the board, but he didn't know all this. You know, my other brother that passed on, he knew about it, and my mother knew about it. And that's, you know, it was kind of shocking because, you know, two of the deaths had already, you know, occurred. And it was kind of shocking. You know, it told us exactly when they were going to happen.
Now, does it also say exactly how it's going to happen all the time?
No, it didn't. It told me that my dad would die in the winter. And lo and behold, you know, he passed away at the age of 68, just like I said, you know, the day before Christmas, on Christmas Eve.
Okay, and, Tina and Tilde, how do you explain that?
Well, what I'd like to say about that, this is Tina speaking, what I'd like to say about that is that any loving guide or spirit that would come through, that comes through of the white light, I don't believe that they would give out that kind of information. And I think that perhaps it was an entity that wasn't in the light that was giving that kind of information, because we have never received that kind of information about us. You know, when we're going to die. That's not positive information to share with someone.
Do you want that information?
No, I don't want that information.
No, I don't want that information. We certainly don't ask for it. And even if we did, they wouldn't give us that information. I mean, there's certain things that they will not tell us. If we ask for the lottery numbers, they will not give us
Darn,
the lottery numbers.
I want that. I want the horse and the three race.
Oh, we tried. No, they tell us that their messages are strictly for our spiritual development, and that's what they stick to.
Kentucky in the NCAA basketball tournament. Something. Give me something.
I hear you, George.
Oh, well. I guess you really can't profit off something like that, can you?
No, I don't believe you can. And like Tilde said, you know, the messages that they give us are meant for our spiritual development. And the messages that our current caller received about the deaths of his friends and family, there's no spiritual development. There's no spiritual purpose in those kinds of messages. So I really believe that, you know, the guides or the spirits that delivered those messages really weren't doing it for the best purposes.
That is fascinating. That story that he just told us, absolutely shocking.
Mm-hmm. That really is.
At least he knows he's got until 2042.
It could have been a lot worse.
It could have been a lot worse. That's exactly right. Well, both of you stay with us. The websites for Tina and Tilde, of course, bookofinsight.com. It's linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. And got some great news for you, by the way. Might as well share it with you right now. Launching Monday, our new app for you to pick up on your iPhone. Android's not too far behind. This is an incredible feature. First of all, for all of you with iPhones, show recaps, guest information, video clips, articles, polls, the very popular cattle abduction game. If you're a Coast Insider, a member of the club, you'll also get the live nightly broadcast, the on-demand playback of past shows, live and on-demand video chats with me, and it'll play back using the Wi-Fi, 3G, or Edge connection. It's incredible. All of this for your iPhone app starting on Monday. Just look at our website, and we're working now very quickly on Android, and hopefully that'll be right around the corner. We'll be back. Well, next hour on Coast to Coast, we will begin our open lines. But when you come right back, we'll have some final phone calls for our two guests as we talk about the Ouija board, a book of insight on Coast to Coast AM. Tina and Tilde, do you ask these spirit guides the questions, or do they just give you answers to things?
Kind of a combination of both. We usually, when we start a session, we have questions in mind. There are things that we want to know, and we'll ask
the questions. And a lot of times they'll have messages for us as well. They'll have things that they want to convey to us, and we receive those messages too.
Do you ever pick up urgency coming from them?
Do we ever pick up urgency? Not really. Perhaps when they were delivering the book to us, there were some messages where they were telling us that, you know, we basically need to wake up now, that we're coming to a fork in our path and it's time to wake up. So there were messages of urgency in that sense in the book, but not personal messages to us.
How often are you on the Ouija board?
It really varies. Sometimes it'll be every couple of days. Sometimes it won't be for a couple of months. It just really varies.
When we first began the transmission of the book, we received the first transmission in 2004, and it wasn't until 2007 that we did the next session. So sometimes we'll go a year without
a
session. Sometimes we'll go months. Sometimes we'll go a week. It depends.
Do you ever get a sign from them? You know, open up the Ouija board. We got to tell you something. Does that ever happen?
You know what's really interesting? This is Tina speaking. What's really interesting is in the summer of 2007 when we picked up the transmissions again, I remember I was taking a nap and this sense of paralyzation came over me. And sometimes I have sleep paralysis at night. And I forced myself to roll over and open my eyes, and I looked up at the ceiling and I saw all these blue orbs that were just flying above me. And I was just watching those orbs, and I sensed that they had consciousness, and I sensed that they were observing me, and they suddenly regrouped within formation of a circle, but they were all distinct, and then they just floated up into the ceiling and disappeared. And that is something that happened to me when we began the transmission of the book. So there definitely was activity around us at that time.
Okay, let's go to our final callers. We'll go east of the Rockies. Patty's with us in Sears Mount, Maine. Hi, Patty. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hi, Tina. Hi, Taldy.
Hi.
I had a very bad experience with the Ouija board, and it was actually back in the early 90s. I was working for a department store. My coworkers brought a Ouija board in. I had never had any experience with them up in the break room. You know, I had just recently lost my father within a month previous, so, you know, I thought it would be kind of neat if a message would come through. So I'm convinced he did come through. His initials were spelled out on the board. But I was the manager of the store, and I had to close it at night and open it very early in the morning by myself. So I locked the store up that night, went home, went back in the morning, and what I found, I was horrified. There was a big cage of children's rubber balls. The rubber balls were thrown all over the store. So I said, boy, that's weird. So I was picking up all the balls. They were everywhere. And I was down in the kitchen department, and there was steak knives for sale. And I was finding steak knives driven through boxes of light bulbs.
Oh, that's scary.
And so I was convinced the store was haunted. After that, I was hearing a little kitten crying up in the attic area of the store. There was no cat there. And so I ended up having a nervous breakdown. They did transfer me to a different store, but I was convinced that whatever came through that board had attached itself to me. 2 years later, I got divorced. I lost my job. I was a mess.
Everything collapsed around you.
Everything collapsed around me, and nothing has been the same since. My health went downhill, everything. But for the last few years, I will not let a Ouija board near me, and nobody else brings them around me. And by the way, that particular store was selling Ouija boards.
They were everywhere. I wonder if there was an open one there that night.
I don't know, but it was in a town in Maine that was notorious for evil and black magic and witches. And so I was naive. I yeah, just a game, you know. But what I found out, it's no game.
It is no game. Patty, thanks for your story. See, it does happen, you two.
Oh, it does. And this is exactly why we tell people, do not take this lightly. And this is why it should not be sold in toy stores. You know, this isn't a game. This is a very serious tool, and people need to understand what they're getting into when they play with it frivolously. It's not a frivolous game.
It's
not.
We gave ours away in the studio, and it ruined this poor guy's life. Unbelievable story there, too. Next up, let's go to our wild card line in Medford, Oregon. Hello, Diane. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My story is about 11 years old on the sidewalk and everything. Somehow the Ouija board was there, and we were playing with it. And it was kind of malevolent, and I asked for my name, and it started spelling out my last name, and I said, I'm never going to do this again. And then as a teenager, I was at my friend's house, and her neighbors next door, the mother and the daughter, they're from Colombia, and they were into spiritualism and that, and she said, you know, let's go over there, and we ended up doing the Ouija board. And so we're four teenagers, and we're in a bedroom. And the Colombian daughter, the teenager, she says, you know, we don't have to use the protractor. We can make the board talk to us without the protractor, and the board did levitate. You know, in answer to above the ground. And then it started spinning. And my friends, they ran out of the bedroom door. I jumped up on the bed, and the Ouija board slid under the bed. And then I made a jump for it and slammed the door, and it hit the door. So what was that all about?
Well, yes. Again, there, you know, that's why we reiterate that it's not a toy and that you possibly opened a portal. And again, what I'd like to say is that we are the transmitters and receivers of information. We humans have the ability that we are not even aware of to open portals through the use of these tools. And this is why we recommend to people, don't just play with a board like this frivolously, because you don't know what you're getting into. You don't know what you're going to invite. And this is why Tildy and I, you know, we use precautions, we meditate, and surround ourselves with white light.
And the other thing about is we didn't even use the protractor. We just put our fingers on the board, and it levitated and started spinning.
That's frightening. Well, the other thing too is oftentimes you don't know the history that's attached to the board, if it belongs to a friend or if it belonged to someone else before you started playing with it. You don't know how they were using the board. Perhaps they were using it in a very negative way. Something came through, a negative entity came through and attached itself to it as well. That's also a possibility. But I'll tell you, if I had ever experienced something like that, it would probably be the last time I ever experimented with the Ouija board.
Of course. Let's go to Sean, Fontana, California. Hi, Sean. Skype line.
Hi, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure, thanks.
I just wanted to ask the ladies, hi, how are you?
Hi, Sean. Good. Thank you.
Did the a couple things. Did the spirit guide ever mention anything about 2012? Do you think there were any Ouija boards in ancient times or in recent history, maybe like in Nazi Germany? And also, you know, these spirit guides and these angels and these beings that you mention of and that people believe in, why do you think it is that in the age of technology and mass communication that one of them or, you know, a few of them hasn't come out and somehow found a way to broadcast the message to everyone, the message that they're trying to get across to us? and why hasn't that happened yet, in your opinion?
That's a very good question. Well, part of it, I think they haven't broadcast us is because, you know, we have free will and we create our own realities. And also, there, I guess you could say there's kind of like a prime directive in place. And this is also with alien, what we perceive as extraterrestrials. And this prime directive is that they do not interfere with our free will and with our development. And I think that is possibly why they don't just come out and broadcast and save us from ourselves. You know, we are free agents with free will, and we are here to create our own realities, and we are here to learn through these realities that we create through free will.
Have you gotten any explanation why we're here?
Yes, we have. They've told us that we are here because the Source, who is God, is on a quest of self-actualization. What they've told us is that in the beginning, the Source existed as a singularity. And the singularity, which is the Source, wanted to understand and comprehend itself and all of what it could be. And in wanting to understand itself and to experience itself, it exploded forth into the answer. And that explosion is what we refer to as the Big Bang. And we are part of the Source's quest for self-actualization. The Source is experiencing itself through us and through all life that exists, throughout the universes and the multi-dimensions.
Okay, next up, let's go to Richard in Lafayette, Indiana. Richard, thanks for calling.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
When I was about 20 years old, about 40 years ago, I was in school in Louisville, Kentucky, and a group of us got together playing with a board, and in one of these incidents, I was controlling the board myself. There was a young man standing behind me, actually with his body against mine, and my head moved backwards and pushed him back, and I carried strangulation marks on my neck for a week.
Jeez.
Wow.
And I understand the necessity of the protections that they're talking about now that I didn't then. At that point, it was just a party game.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And that's the frightening thing about the Ouija board, once again.
It's not a game.
It's not a game, and it's sold as a game. And personally, I don't think it should be sold as a game. And that's how people play it, and that's why they're having these experiences.
What would you say to kids who are doing this at a party?
Don't do it. One thing is children are developing, even teenagers, they still have developing brains, and they're not fully adults yet with full adult reason. I mean, they're still children, and children shouldn't be playing with these kinds of games. They're not toys, and that's why we say just don't do it.
But they'd say you two did.
Well, we didn't know any better at the time. And we certainly didn't do it in a party environment when we first started doing it. And pretty much every time we do it, it's just the two of us. And we are very cautious. I mean, it's not something we would ever do at a party.
I bet, though, at night when you were kids, when your parents were asleep, you pulled out the old Ouija board.
Well, maybe once or twice we may have.
Let's go to Rosemary in Philadelphia. Hey, Rosemary, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you, George?
Good.
Hi. I had an experience about 30-something years ago with a Ouija board. Actually, my cousin had passed, and before she passed, she wanted me to come to the hospital to visit her. She had something to tell me about the family. So I was very anxious to go, but I had to work overtime, so I couldn't get there. So in the meantime, she had passed. So I had gotten my things together to go to the funeral. And I went outside, and all four of my tires were all slashed. I mean, I couldn't go anywhere.
Hmm.
And I was in Philly, and the funeral was in Trenton, New Jersey. So I was really upset. So I called a friend of mine, and I asked a friend of mine to please use the Ouija board with me because I want to know what my cousin wanted to tell me so desperately. So he brought the board over the following day, and we used the board, and it automatically started to move very fast because I'm very psychic, and it moved very fast when I, you know, as I touched the plastic piece. I forgot the name of it.
Planchette.
But anyway, yeah, it moved really. It was moving really fast. And so I said to him, I said, you know what? I don't think I want to ask any more questions. So he said, oh, no, go ahead. So I did. And I wanted to know what she wanted to ask me. So it said later, you know, later on. So anyway, I thought nothing about it. And I, you know, I told him thank you. And I, you know, proceeded to go to bed. So I went upstairs. I went to bed. I couldn't go to sleep till about 3 in the morning. My spirit guide told me to go downstairs. So I went downstairs, and my cousin was standing in the kitchen. It was a townhouse. And as you walk in the door, you walk right into the kitchen. And she was standing in front of the sink with the same blue dress that she had on in the funeral, at her funeral. But I didn't know. I had asked her sister about it, and she told me she had a blue dress on. And I said, well, that's the exact same thing. She was here. You know, she was standing at the sink. But I'm not going to lie. I was so freaked out. It was 16 steps, and it took me 2 steps to get back upstairs. You know what I mean? I forgot about the water and everything. So the very next day, I took the board, and I threw it. I lived across the street from a field, and I threw it as far as I could possibly throw it because I never wanted to see it again.
Don't tell me it came back.
No, not at all. Not at all. But I had weird, really bad, you know, really bad vibes. And I'm so glad you had mentioned, George, how you wanted to do that experiment, because I was trying to, you know, project to you some kind of way for you not to have that experiment on your radio show, because they're dangerous. I don't care what anybody say. They're dangerous.
Yeah, for some people, it could have truly affected them.
Exactly, because I know it did me.
Tina and Tilly, where do you get your book?
Well, you can get our book through Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or you can get a signed copy from our website, BookOfInsight.com.
Were you, when you were putting together the book based on your life experiences with this, did you get messages from the spirit guide as well that wanted information to get out?
Yes, they did. They told us that this was an important book that they wanted to get out to people because they had messages of love and messages that were important to mankind at this time. And it's because we're going through a spiritual awakening and we're going through a transition. And that's pretty evident with what's going on in the world today. So it was a timely message that they gave to us.
If you do get some horrendous a message from them, I want you to get back to us so we can get it on the air, okay?
Absolutely. But what I would like to say, George, from Tilde and myself, is for us it's more than just playing with the Ouija board. For us, it's the message that came through that really matters, and it's really important because the messages are really good. The messages are very loving, and the messages will help us to shift our lives and to create a better future for ourselves.
Okay, this is probably one of the few times that the Ouija board worked for some other people. I'll be back in a moment with open lines and a hotline number for you on Coast to Coast AM.